Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Hello, I'm Michael Gamblin, executive producer of MRG Media Ministries. Stay with us as Dr. Richard Tooley does the second part of the interview with Ann White and her book, 7 Steps to Courage. So please join us with Ann White and her book, 7 Steps to Courage.
Again, I'm going to just go through an introduction so we make sure that we back up far enough.
Sure.
To everything.
No problem.
I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and we've been talking with Ann White in her book, 7 Steps to Courage, here. And as we look at this, and we're talking to our young people now, and the parents of young people mm-hmm. in our audience, about this idea of maybe preventing some of the things that can go on in their lives. Mm-hmm. We know that a 3-year-old is pretty transparent.
Yep, always.
We know that a 13-year-old is not so transparent.
Correct.
And by the time they get to be 20, they are clearly not transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And this process of losing this transparency over time is not going to help them in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So as parents and as young people, if you could think of 2 things
mm-hmm.
that would go a long way in helping these young people avoid the problems that go with losing this transparency.
Right.
What would those things be?
The first thing that I would say is really ground yourself in knowing who you are in Christ. Because once you have that grounded relationship with Jesus Christ, you become more comfortable in your skin. And you begin to judge yourself less, and you become more vulnerable and open, a little more transparent. But I think another and very critical component that I talk about in the book, because I also talk about knowing who you are in Christ, uncovering the real you, but I think communication is key. You know, we learn our listening and communication skills as a child, and you either learn good communication skills or you learn poor communication skills. Mine were poor because it was not a comfortable or safe environment for me to be able to share when I was afraid. And I watched my mom talk about it in 7 Steps to Courage, how I watched her deal with the pain of being in a verbally abusive relationship, in a very unhealthy, unhappy relationship that she stayed in just for us kids. But at the time, it was damaging us as children at the same time. So I learned, don't communicate. Stuff everything. Deal with it. Cover it up. And just go on. I can encourage parents as well as those teenagers, learn to open up and communicate. And in the book, 7 Steps to Courage, I have a section where I talk a lot about communication and some of the communication killers, you know, like contempt, criticism, stonewalling, so forth. It's so important that we learn to have those conversations in our family life so that we communicate with our friends, we can find safe people that we can open up to, and we learn to talk about how we feel. You know, we get into counseling, one of the first things they do is teach us to say, that made me feel. That's really a hard thing to do sometimes, to really identify those feelings. So even in the book, I talk about primary and secondary emotions, because often we'll just say, well, I'm angry. Well, you might be feeling angry, but deep down it might be that you're feeling abandoned or you're feeling rejected, and that's making you angry. So it's not the anger that's the issue. It's the emotion of feeling abandoned or rejected, disrespected. To be able to come out and to say to someone you're in relationship with, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a family member, that I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling fearful I'm afraid I'm going to be abandoned. When this happens, it makes me afraid that this relationship is not going to make it. And it makes me afraid.
And that's a risk-taking step.
It's very risk-taking, but it can be done, and it disarms the other person. So instead of getting angry, you know, which is that secondary emotion that comes to the surface, and because you're feeling disrespected or rejected or whatever, you put on this coat of anger, or you shut down and say, I'm just going to stonewall. I'm not going to listen to this person because I might get hurt. Then there's no place to go forward. And that happens in marriages and families, happens between teens and parents a lot. And so if you can disarm and learn those communication skills, it takes you incredible places where you can open up and you can begin to have a kind of a relationship that you've never dreamed that you could have before.
Yeah, it's interesting because we develop patterns of communications.
Mm-hmm.
As we go through, we develop these patterns that we fall into really easy. Part of the process of vulnerability and part of the process of transparency
mm-hmm.
is not to allow those patterns to be so established that there aren't alternative patterns.
Right.
Because it's kind of this game that we play. You get married and you're living your life and, oh, she said that, so I should do this. Or, oh, he said that, so I should do this. You know, we read off of each other what is going on in each other's lives, and we react accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the path he's going down. Well, I'm going down this path because I know this is a safe path and we've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And in those paths that we take, if they become so well developed, then it becomes not a form of communication anymore.
Right.
But rather a form of either avoidance
mm-hmm.
or cover-up.
Right.
And so to be able to not let those paths become permanent paths that we
mm-hmm.
follow is a healthier thing.
So, that's right.
So we would be talking now in terms of communicating. You know, this is interesting. How do you do this? You got to communicate at a different level than most people are communicating
mm-hmm.
at. And so to get there, as Christians, oftentimes, and this is an indictment, but it's a statement of fact.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, we don't get there because we don't know exactly where to put Christ.
Right.
In this process.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Christ fit in this process?
Christ is at the center of everything. I was saved at 19 years old, and I talk about my salvation experience in the book. And I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew something was different. I knew I was no longer alone because, you know, I spent all those childhood years feeling alone, alone in my hurt, alone in my pain. What do I do with it? How do I control it? When the Holy Spirit entered, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I no longer felt alone. And although I didn't have some miraculous transformation, God worked on me slowly and gently along the way, I knew He was there, and He began to work on my life from the very beginning. And God was with me that night in Israel when my husband and I were on the phone trying to figure out how we were going to tell everybody that we were divorcing. God was with me when I cried out to Him and prayed and said, God, I need help. I don't know what to do. I loved my husband. My husband loved me. It wasn't that. It's just that there was so much damage we'd done to one another and so much hurt and so much anger on the surface. We just didn't know what to do. But I prayed. I cried out to God, and He gave me the courage to write a note, and that's where it all started. As I began to write down on a hotel letterhead what was really going on in my life, and then courageously delivered that note to my pastor and his wife, who were completely shocked that anything was wrong in our marriage. So Christ is at the center. He's right there. We just have to embrace Him. We have to trust Him. We have to pray. We have to ask Him for guidance. He gives us wisdom and discernment. Then it becomes a choice. Courage is a choice. We can choose to be courageous. We can choose to follow Christ. We can choose to allow Him to direct our path. And when we do, and when we trust Him with the outcome, miraculous things can happen.
Yes, what you're talking about, too, is an interesting point. There reaches a point, and we need to make this one.
Mm-hmm.
There reaches a point when our isolation, because really in the end of it all, isolation is quite
crippling.
A bit of the whole thing. Yeah, it can be the root of an awful lot of ills that we have.
It's one of Satan's greatest tools.
Yeah, so we get to this point where we've isolated ourselves, and we even isolate ourselves from our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where we need a third-party intervention.
Yes, we do.
So we need, in part of this process, knowing someone safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be safe for both parties in
mm-hmm.
the end. Because if it's not safe, it ain't going to happen.
Exactly right. I do talk about that in here. And, you know, I keep referring to the book, Richard, because I put my heart and soul into this. Everything that I've learned that has helped me heal from my brokenness and has ultimately healed my marriage. And I say that because my husband was a courageous man too. He came back along and he was willing to be courageous and come alongside me and fight for the marriage and heal the marriage. Many of your listeners and many of my dear friends and many women that I speak to large groups, and many of them come up to me and say, I'm so happy your marriage was able to be healed. Unfortunately, my husband, and it happens with the wife sometimes, they just don't want to go there. They'd rather walk away. And so it does take two. And so I was very mm-hmm. fortunate and eventually healed my marriage. But we've got to take that risk, and we've got to come together.
We're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, we'll continue our exploration of this topic, because it's a very, very needed topic to be discussed now.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
What should I do if my parents aren't fair?
I assume we're talking about God-loving, honest, trying to do the best they can parents. Here's a little secret that can save you tons of anger and sadness down the road. Don't expect fairness from other people, because they don't see things the way you do. They don't think like you think. What's important to you may not be important to them. When a decision must be made, parents decide based on their values, their fears, their hopes. Are they being selfish? No, they truly believe they're doing what's best for you. When I was young and my mom or dad did something I thought wasn't fair, I determined that when I was an adult, I'd make some mighty big changes in my life, and I did. Some changes worked, some didn't. I also learned a lot about my parents and why they acted so, quote, unfairly, end quote. In most cases, they were right. God's Treasure Chest says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord, Colossians 3:20. If your parents aren't fair, forgive them. Then patiently share your hopes, your values, and your dreams with them.
Hey, that's only fair.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Coffee, when are we going to get through this jungle? Coffee, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Bobby, let me see.
This clap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me here is Ann White, and we're talking about her book, Seven Steps to Courage. Yeah, as at a risk of not, I don't want to condemn anyone, but the concept is commitment.
Agree. Yeah.
And marriage is a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a contract.
Mm-mm.
And that term commitment is interesting because it's the commitment that one person makes, not two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-person commitment. And both people make that commitment. Now, that commitment gets tested when you end up in a situation where things are falling apart. Are you going to adhere to that commitment? Are you going to make the decision to reaffirm the commitment that allows you to go through the painful process at times and the arduous and difficult process at times of repairing? Now, maybe there are times when it simply can't be repaired, but you know, with God, all things are possible.
Absolutely. And it's an individual decision. Mm-hmm. And it does take two. You're so right about that. But what I like to tell the people that are listening as well, there came a point in time I had no clue what my husband was going to do.
Yeah.
I had no clue what choice he was going to make. I couldn't change my husband. That was one of those things, accept the things you cannot change. In that chapter on accept the things you cannot change, that's one of the things you realize. You can't change another person. You can only change yourself. And yet, I tell many women who are in abusive relationships, you may not be able to change your husband, but you can change yourself and how you respond and how you deal with the abuse that's happening. And that courage may be separating yourself from the situation. And we went through that process as well. You know, we had to have time apart to do our own internal healing until we could come back together and then work on the marriage and be completely whole. Both pieces had to be whole and be brought back together. It was 2.5 years. It was a long time. It was very difficult. But it was so worth it. And two people were courageous enough to come back and do that. But even if it's just one, you can change your situation. You can change that cycle, that pattern you talked about. You know, when you're in a pattern, you're in a cycle, you're in a dance, and it's a very unhealthy cycle.
Yes.
One person changes the dance, it changes. It changes everything. And the other person may fight back and so forth. So you really do need safe people. You've talked about that. Find that safe person who can help walk you through those steps and be there for you when the walls come crashing down. And they did. Everything was not moving in a forward motion for us at all times. We'd take two steps forward, one step back. We were maybe a year and a half into it, and we looked at our counselor and said, are we really going to make it? You know what? We're feeling we should just sign off and say, this is just really hard. This is too hard. There's too much hurt. We've done too much damage. And then God gave us a glimmer of hope, and we kept going. And we both have said, we never want to go through that again, but we wouldn't trade it for anything because we love where we are today, and we're thankful to God for His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and the work that He's done in our life to change us.
And you know, I will say this, regardless of how old they were, your children thank you.
Oh, they definitely do. They absolutely do.
So many, it affects children in ways we can't think of when we go through these things.
It does. You don't have a clue until, and many people are doing that. Many people are separating, divorcing, and like I said, you know, it may not be at the wish of one person. My assistant, who's been with me for a couple years in ministry, just went through a very painful divorce. And it wasn't something she wanted.
Right.
But she had no choice because the other person was adamant that's what they were going to do. And the repercussions on the kids breaks her heart as much or more than anything, because they're paying the price. Mm-hmm. It breaks her heart. She had no choice. She wouldn't have had that for anything in the world. She loves the Lord, and she's trusting Him with her future. She's trusting Him with her kids, just like I have. But the spouses who do choose to leave have no clue the impact and the hurt that it brings to those kids.
It's a damage that happens to children that lasts for as long as 30 years or longer.
The entire life.
Yes.
I mean, my parents eventually divorced. And, although they got along, and that was great that they did, that was helpful when we began to have children, so they had grandchildren, that helped, for them to have a good relationship. So if there are divorced parents out there, I do encourage them to do everything in your power to make that as healthy of a relationship and as friendly of a relationship as you can possibly make it,
Yes. Well, we're going to bring this to a close, but I'm going to tell you right now, the 7 steps to courage isn't just about marriage.
Not at all.
And reconciliation, but about every facet of a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what it is, when we come upon trials, finding courage through Jesus Christ is really the answer. And this is a practical guide.
Very practical. Lots of charts in here. They can even go to 7stepstocourage.com, find out more about the book, order the book, and also download some resources, because once you've read the book, you might have one of those charts on negative and positive attitudes, negative and positive coping skills. There's lots of really great tools and charts in there that you can download, post it on your mirror at home, so you're going to see it every day and you're going to be challenged and encouraged to incorporate those positive attitudes, those positive coping skills, and so forth and so on.
Okay, so they can get this book at, where can they get it?
It certainly can be gotten on Amazon, but you can go to 7stepstocourage.com. That's the number 7, stepstocourage.com, and they can find out more there. Order the book there, and you can go to ingraceministries.org, find out more about our ministries and more of the things that we're doing there as well. We have missions that we're involved in, other programs and television programs, that are inspirational programs, all of our social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ann White in Grace Ministries, and go out and buy the book.
Yes,
also tell me how you're, what you're experiencing. Write your courage story and send us some information either on our website in our comments or on our Facebook social media pages.
Yeah, so here's a good challenge for everybody who's feeling uncourageous. Take the first step. Get the book.
Exactly. So, that is the first step.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate the audience listening in.
I have one thing left to say. That is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.